This Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage.
Hello and welcome to the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast. This is podcast number 148. My name is Peter Higgins. You can find me at Conquest 3. And today I'm here, as usual, with my brilliant co-host, Henry Viola. You can find him at HD Viola on X and also on the Blue Sky app and LinkedIn as well. We're here. It is, let me get the date right on this pod because I got the date wrong on the last one. It's the 5th of March, 2025. It's just gone 7 o'clock. And Henry and I are going to tell you about the Master Investor Show. We're going to talk to you about Memphis. We're going to talk to you about some stocks as well. We're going to talk to you about maximum pessimism regarding two of the stocks that I'm going to talk about. And Henry's going to talk to you about a couple of stocks that he has an interest in as well. We're going to start at the very top, and that's to tell you about, no, we're not going to start there. We're going to just check in with Henry first and check how Henry's been, because I should be doing that because he's had a bit of a week. You might want to share some of it with you. You might not want to share some of it with you. But he also has some historical good news he might share with you if he's allowed to. There's a few clues there. I'll leave it up to him to say what he wants to say for the next few minutes. Henry, hello. How are you, fella? What do you want to share?
I'm very well, thank you, Peter. You probably totally baffled our audience there on that one. So, I've had a bit of a rocky start to the week. A few medical issues cropped up, unfortunately, but thankfully resolved. Nobody permanently injured as a result of it. And as usual, our NHS service was fantastic. A huge, huge help in very trying circumstances, and what could have been quite a difficult situation was very well handled, I would say. So a thank you to our NHS, really, on that one. That might sound a little bit ominous, so I will also follow on with the positive news, which is that I'm quite proud to say that I'm expecting a promotion to come through imminently at work. So it's not official yet until April, but I can leak the news here on the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast for our global audience. If anybody's interested, I shall be the senior bid manager for Gallagher Specialty as of April. So, feeling pretty
mate.
Chipper
I'm absolutely
today.
Thrilled for you. Super proud. You deserve it, mate. You've been working your socks off. So, yeah, lots of
Thank you very much.
Revenue generated. You smashed it, mate. Really well done.
Oh, we had a cracking year last year. Insurance is one of those industries that it's fascinating, but it is hugely complex. So when you get win, you really had to work for it. So, feel like we're on the up and up, to be honest.
Absolutely. And keeping on that theme of the up and up, Henry and I have some news for you. We've already sort of leaked that already in the first 5 minutes. We are going to be doing a live pod. If the numbers hit right here, this is 148. The next one on the 19th will be 149. 150 of the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast will be a live podcast at the Master Investor Show in London on the 29th of March. Henry and I think the stage is called the Thought Leadership Stage. I'm not sure we're meant to be on that stage, Henry. I don't think we are thought leaders.
we've got any thoughts, but...
So we'll be there regardless of what stage. But 3:35 till 4:15 on the 29th of March at the Islington Business Centre. And we'll be doing a live pod. The topic of the pod will be how to find winning stocks, and we'll be utilizing the ShareScope software and database to go through that with you to find some stocks for you guys to, and ladies and gents, to have a little look at and to do further research on. Additionally, What we're going to try and do there as well is allow our audience to give us some stocks that they've got in their portfolios and for us to have a look at it. So essentially, it's going to be like a mini investment clinic without us being able to give advice on it. We'll be able to showcase what the actual fundamentals are of the stocks that are given to us via our audience and have a look at some of those so people can have a little wander and look through the ShareScope software. So if you're up for that and you don't mind seeing these ugly mugs in up close and personal, face to face, and have a bit of banter, and also go for a sneaky beer later on, then we're going to be there on the 29th of March. We've got some tickets for you guys, so you're not paying for these tickets, and you should be able to go to the main website, which is www.masterinvestorshow.co.uk forward slash tickets. We are going to be there with the ShareScope team. We're going to have a stand to be able to speak to them directly as well. And Henry and I will be there probably from about 9:30, and be there throughout the day to be able to catch up with us and have a chat. And as I say, we're doing some stuff afterwards as well. Any thoughts about that, Henry? Your first live on stage performance at the Master Investor Show, mate.
I'm exceedingly excited, Peter. I've usually attended these as a member of the audience, so to be up on one of the stages is great. There will be bonus prizes available for anybody that manages to sneak a beer into me prior to me getting on the stage.
Can't say that.
I can.
Oh my gosh. I'm
So,
promoting beers afterwards. He's already promoting before you get
yeah,
on stage. So
exactly.
whatever floats your boat. I'm
But
gonna have a
well,
sorry, go on.
I was going to say, so the live demonstration of the software that we're going to do come along with an interesting share that maybe you don't know a lot about. Please make it UK listed, so there's a chance that Peter and I have heard of it. I'm not a global encyclopedia of all things share related, so UK is much preferred. But we'll
Absolutely.
plug it in and we'll show you what this thing looks like on the software. And it's a chance to see how Peter and I actually use the tool in real time. So you can see all the great mistakes I make to buy clangers like DJI9.
Absolutely. Absolutely, mate. So yeah, so that's where we are, folks, on the 29th of March. We'd love to see you there. Come and see us, have some conversations and talk about some of the things that have interested you regarding the markets. And much, much more. Hopefully we'll be able to engage with you and have a chat. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, do come and say hello, please. I absolutely love meeting members of the audience. So if you are able to make it, do pop by, do come find me, do say hello. I'd love to buy you a beer, share a beer, glass of wine, whatever. And just find out how you got into investing, how you're finding the pod. So don't be strangers, please. Do come and say hello.
Cool. Thank you ever so much for that, Henry. Right. I'm going to start off with a quote for everybody before I tell you about a couple of stocks that I'm going to talk about. And the title of this is from John Templeton, the very famous entrepreneur and investor. And it is called The Principle of Maximum Pessimism. And I'm going to read this as it is. Okay. I'll have to enlarge it a little bit for my little peeps here. There we go. Are you ready for this? People are always asking me, where is the outlook good? But that's the wrong question. The right question is, where is the outlook the most miserable? Question mark. I call this the principle of maximum pessimism. Let me explain how it works. In almost every activity of normal life, people try to go where the outlook is the best. You look for a job in an industry with a good future or build a factory where prospects are best. But my contention is you are selecting a publicly traded investments. Yeah. You have to do the opposite. You are trying to buy a share at the lowest possible price in relation to what the corporation is worth. And there is only one reason the share goes to a bargain price, because other people are selling. So there is no other reason to get a bargain price. You have got to look for where the public is most frightened and Pessimistic. And that is by John Templeton, who made millions and billions. So I'm going to start with the first stock. And the reason I'm picking this stock is because it was one of those just over 2 years ago, which no one wanted. And this year, alone, year to date, this share is up 42%. Over the past 12 months, it's up 131%. And even worse, neither of Henry or I own this stock. And this is despite us looking at what we deem to be a couple of entities, investment companies, etc., that are in the infrastructure segment of investments.
Oh
Okay. So we've
no.
looked into this area. We didn't choose that one, but hey ho. But it was unloved. This is what I'm saying about maximum pessimism. The stock I'm talking about is Nexus Infrastructure. The ticker is NEXS. Okay. 52-week range of 65 pence back in April of last year. I think it was the low. And a high of 182, currently priced at 178. Now, what does it do? And I'll give you some history about this company as well in a little while. So Nexus Infrastructure PLC engages in the provision of infrastructure services, as is in the title on the tin, in the house building and commercial sectors in the United Kingdom. The group business includes Tamdown, a civil engineering business that provides a range of civil engineering and infrastructure services to the house building sector. These services include earthworks, building highways, substructures, basements, and installing sustainable drainage systems. It operates in the south of England and London. The company generates revenue from Tamdown, Nexus Infrastructure, and Nexus Park Limited. And also, it's got another subsidiary, which is the Coleman Construction Utilities Limited. The subsidiary delivers infrastructure projects in water, rail, highways, rivers, and marine sector. And they've been delivering services for about 20 years. Now, this company's gone through a complete restructuring. And the reason why the share price dropped off a lot was because back in the December 2022, they agreed a deal. Now, I'm always talking about sum of parts on this particular pod because I'm always trying to buy as much money as I possibly can, yeah, for less than the pound of assets. So 70p, 50p, I want to buy it for that and still get a £1 worth of assets. Remarkably, back in November of 2022, December 2022, Nexus agreed a deal to sell two of their subsidiaries. And they managed to complete the sale of its TriConnex business and its eSmart business for just shy of £78 million. At the time when the deal went through in the February of the following year, the market cap of the whole company was £79 million. Is that making sense to you, Henry? Okay, bear with me. Bear with me, caller. So they sell their TriConnex business, they sell their eSmart business, eSmart Network business, right, for 77.7 million to a private equity company. The group is then worth 79.8 million. They return 60.5 million to shareholders by way of a tender and repurchase 80% of their shares, outstanding shares. So everyone's left with a little tiny little shell of a business regarding the Tamdown side and the new growing element of it, which is the Coleman construction side of it. And everyone's going, well, I'm not really that sure, but I want to be involved in it now. I've got me the vast majority of my money out of the company. Alas, the shares go down to 65 pence in April 2024. They're now sitting at £1.75. Still with me, Henry?
Go with
Yeah.
you.
Okay. Right. So they get themselves installed with a new CEO, a chap called Charles Sweeney. So when the this restructuring happened in February 22. He'd already been there as chief operating officer since September 2016. The CFO had been with the company for 35 years, promoted to the CFO role in February of 2023. So you've got a new team essentially at the top of the business. And now they are, for all intents and purposes, going from strength to strength. Obviously, they've had challenges regarding the infrastructure side of it in the UK. Lots of different things going on. House building side of it has had some weakness. But yet they came out on the 23rd of January, Henry, which is, I'll say last month, but it's obviously January. Now we're in March. And they had a steady performance despite industry headwinds. And the CEO was saying, full year 2024 has been a year of progress for Nexus Infrastructure, demonstrating resilience in challenging markets. We are focused on delivering on our core strategic objectives and have seen progress across all sectors, strengthening our foundations and positioning us very well for the future. Significant improvements in Tamdown's margins and expansion on our order book reflect the hard work and operational discipline of the team. Looking ahead, we're excited about the opportunity strength presented by our recent acquisition of Coleman Construction Utilities, which is now they've got two subsidiaries. So revenue in line at expectations of 56.7 million regarding the market condition of the house building sector. But what I want to talk about here is that the current market cap, Henry, is 16 million pounds. They've got a balance sheet after they gave back and tendered 60 million. Still got that after buying a subsidiary, yeah, the Coleman Construction and Utility side of it. They've still got 12.8 million in cash for a 16 million pound market cap company. And the net assets are sitting at 30 million. Okay? So I'm looking at that thinking, this has come such a long way. It's up 131% in the past 12 months. It's already up 42% year to date. Is this a train that's just going to carry on going for a little while? Or am I talking about it at the very top? But the reason why I brought it up as a discussion, regardless, is the order book is up, despite all the different stuff and delays and all the rest of it going in various sectors. They've got the cash. I'm just looking at it, Henry, and thinking there's an opportunity here, possibly, for a stock that's paying a small little dividend, that's restructured itself, that looks pretty nimble, got cash to buy all the bolt-ons, and it could be quite interesting, mate. Tiny little PE as well, and a little yield of 1.71, which could be increased going forward. So that's why I brought it up. And the conversation I was having about maximum principle of maximum pessimism, that was what happened last April at 65p. It's already at 175. It's nearly trebled. So am I talking about it at the top and we're going to go like that because of further delays and lack of growth in the UK? I don't know. But look at the stocks when they are unloved, is what I'm trying to say here. And this is one that's rewarded those that were buying since April of last year. Thoughts, Henry?
I've got to say, I'm on the side of the maximum pessimism here, I'm afraid, Peter. This looks like an absolute car crash to me. Really, I mean, it's loss making. There's not a lot I like about this. It's loss making. Their forecasts aren't brilliant. Negative return on capital. You mentioned the fact that the CFO's been there since forever. Well, the CFO seems to have run them into the ground. The COO's been there forever. The COO's run them into the ground. I don't see it. I mean, if I look at the sector as a whole, so infrastructure and housing support, so sustainable urban drainage was something you mentioned. That's an area I'm particularly interested in as a concept. I think we should have a lot more of it in the UK.
This is a quick hello to you, our valued Twin Peaks Investing Podcast listener. Whatever channel you're listening to, please make sure to subscribe and you'll always be the first to get the new episodes. Thank you for your continued support.
But there's a lot of
Okay.
people that can do it. You know, is a small company. There's no reason you need to use Nexus, and it's not a brand I massively recognize from the construction industry. It's not like a Mace, for example, or a Balfour Beatty. The struggle with profitability says to me that even when they've got significant revenues, they aren't doing much with them. And the fact that revenues have actually been falling, that's putting even further pressure on their margins. So although it's got the potential to turn around in the future, it may as well, it could also just carry on as it is. So that bounce from, I think you said 60 something p to 170, someone's seen something in it, and that's very clear. I'm just not entirely sure that it's going to go much further from here. I feel like that move possibly reflects a return to a fair value price with some sort of margin of safety for a business that actually isn't performing very well. I mean, the infrastructure space itself is incredibly
Competitive.
competitive. Margins are razor thin across the board. And so the only way they're going to be able to grow revenue really is either to come up with some sort of competitive advantage, some sort of industrial innovation that their competition can't provide, which isn't really all that likely, or by cutting their margins, which they don't seem to have. They haven't got profit to cut. So I'm not sure where the growth's going to come from with this one. And I also don't really, I can't get my head around what that net asset value is made up of. So you mentioned the fact that it's trading at a, I forget what the figure was, a
Tiny PE,
60%.
not, yeah, 0.45 PE.
So it's
Tiny.
extremely cheap, but I'd be very, very careful looking at that. To me, that's one that, you might be right. Maybe if you took away half a percent of this, it'll grow over the years and get back to where it should be or where it could be. But it's also, in my opinion, just as likely that profitability never returns and this thing slowly bleeds out over the next couple of years. So buyer beware on that one, in my opinion.
Okie dokie. I'm looking at this and looking at the operating loss of 2023 of 8.4 million loss, and the operating loss at the last count was 2.2. They've got an order book at the year end of 51.6 million. Hopefully they can make some profit off that. And I'm thinking in the next year or so, they could become profitable, from a operating loss to profitable or break even. And for me, you've also got in within that two very shrewd large investors, Henry, and one that I'm sure some people have heard of before. And when you see this person's name on the register, you should always have a little think about what's he up to, because if he sees value there's probably deep value. And that person's name, who I can never pronounce correctly, is Peter Linhammer. Yeah? Gyllenhammar. So Gyllenhammer, probably the best pronunciation I'm going to get for
Yeah,
that. Peter
Gyllenhammar,
Gyllenhammar.
maybe. Not a name I recognised. What's he known
Yeah.
for?
He's
Where's he
a
from?
Swedish activist investor, and he's got a 28%
Ah.
stake in the firm. And Octus Capital is a hedge fund, also has 13%. And recently had another little firm, had a little nibble, and increased their stake in that as well. So all those sort of little things that are just off the radar, it's a tiny little company. You're absolutely spot on in the sense of they're competing against absolute behemoths, and they've restructured the company, slimmed it down, and they're trying to scale up again. If they manage to do it successfully, I see this stock growing some more. They've got 12 million ish, if I remember rightly, in 12.8 million in cash, which I think they're going to utilize, Henry, not just to just pay for the stuff to fill out the orders that they've got going forward, but to do other little bolt-ons. So I'm hoping that they've done well. And to counter what you said about the CFO, the fact that they sold off two subsidiaries for 77.7 million whilst they were valued at 79 million, I think is pretty credible stuff, mate, to be honest with you. Right.
Well, it
Okay,
could
that's
well
an
be. Could well
for
be.
you, but
I'm
I'll take
skeptical
it.
on that one. The caveat I'd give to that is that
Yep.
you've got a much better track record of spotting these than I do, significantly better. I'm with me when I look at these, all I see are the red flags most of the time. And it's very, very rare I'll see one of these bombed out names and be like, I can see the path back to returns. I can see how they got here. And that puts me off, and I never really want to go, yeah, go on, have a bit more of my money, guys. Let's just see what you do with it.
Yeah, I get that, and this is what I'm saying about the experience. You can see the experience I've got regarding these stocks by looking at the top of my hair. There is none there. It is bald. I've had to go through all their mistakes, Henry. You've got a good head of hair, mate. You don't want to do what I've done
Yeah, look
to
after
get the winners.
it.
Just go, see the red flags, leave them alone, and go and pick the ones with a nice green flag saying, "Over here, Henry. I'm nice, bit
Yeah.
better quality." Yeah, don't do what I've done, mate. You don't need to go through that much stress. Right, mate, I'll put it over to you. See what you've got.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with a company that I don't think listeners will have heard of. It's another one. If you've been listening to the last couple of episodes, we've talked a lot about financials and insurance businesses. I've been on a bit of a roll with them. I've dug out another one. This company is Conduit Holdings Limited. The ticker is CRE. They
Okay.
provide reinsurance products to clients around the world. So they reinsure other insurers. And they primarily operate in three different segments: property insurance, casualty insurance, and specialty insurance. The majority is in property insurance, however, and geographically, the majority of their exposure is over in the US. Now, they've demonstrated significant growth since 2020. As of the end of last year, they reported gross premiums. So this is the amount written on their policies, $1.16 billion, marking a 25% increase from the previous year. So they're writing significantly more insurance year after year. And this growth's been achieved more or less equally across all three of their business segments, meaning that they're seeing lots of opportunity in the market to write profitable insurance policies. So this is presumably a good thing if they've got their underwriting criteria accurate. They've got a reasonable return on equity, 12.7%, and they're targeting mid-teens. So they're expecting to try and grow that a little bit further over the coming years. And that's despite last year being marked by some fairly significant industry losses. So for those of you that have watched the news, you'll have seen the number of wildfires over in America, the earthquakes, etc. That had a significant impact on the property sector over in the US. And the fact that Conduit was still profitable that year underscores, in my opinion, really their resilience and their risk management strategies. So even when they have a bad year, they're still turning a profit. Now, the other thing to look at with insurers, which I think I've mentioned on a podcast, but I'll just recap it briefly, is what's called their combined ratio. Now, this is effectively an indicator of their underwriting profitability. When they write a policy, how much profit are they making as a result of that policy? And last year it was about 86% I've got, which was up from 72% in 2023. So that actually it reflects the fact that their profit margin shrank slightly last year, but a ratio below 100% is generally what you're looking for. If the combined ratio is over 100%, it means that their book is losing money on the policies they've written. Anything
Yeah.
under 100% means they're making money. Now, they've got a strong balance sheet, as you'd like to see from an insurer. Their net assets per share increased to $6.70 at the end of last year, up from $6.25 the previous year. They pay a small dividend. I think looking ahead, this is a business that should continue to do well. It's quite well regarded in the market. They've experienced strong growth from what I've heard around my business during the 2025 renewal season. There are high levels of client partnerships which are encouraging people to renew with them. They're pricing their policies well. And they anticipate that recent events, such as the California wildfires we've just had, will support favorable underwriting conditions. It's actually going to drive other underwriters out of the market, which improves their ability to charge well, if they are willing to remain. Now, having said all of that, the little caveat I'm going to give at the end, anybody looking at insurers needs to be aware of the risks of them. In February, I think one of their brokers actually downgraded Conduit's holdings to a hold rating from an outperform, citing concerns over their recent decline in return on equity. That hit last year. We need to see it reverse and profitability going back in the right direction. If you've got an insurance book where losses continue to grow, that can spiral out of control quite quickly because of that lag where you've written policies many years in advance, but the liabilities are only paid many years later. So, a name that I don't hear a lot of investors talking about, CRE, Conduit Holdings, one you might want to go and have a little look at for your portfolio if you're interested in insurance.
Very good, Henry. I do like the sound of it. I have been buying a stable of insurers of late, and it is one that I like, but didn't like enough because what I was concerned about regarding them is the lack of discussion or projection of how they're utilizing AI and making things more efficient to enhance their margins, to enhance their profitability. And to me, and I'm hoping I've got this wrong, and people can just shout at me and come back to me on X or wherever to tell me what they're doing regarding upgrading their systems, making them more efficient, arriving into the 21st century regarding what are they doing regarding AI and technology? Because there's all of that to do. There's all these legacy companies which are trying not to be legacy companies. You've got, LGEN, you've got Aviva, they're all, you've got, Beazley, they're all doing loads regarding tech to try and make things more efficient and increasing the margins and therefore producing better dividends. Did you touch on dividends, by the way, Henry? Did you say what they do
Yeah,
juice-wise?
they do pay a dividend. It's 2.5 times covered, and it's on a forecast yield. It's fairly chunky, 7%.
Oh, well, that's different. That's
So it's
different. Okay.
well covered. My
Yeah.
caveat, the reason I've not focused on the dividends with this is because both revenue and losses can be extremely volatile with
Exactly. Yeah.
insurers. They
Major
can be all over the
catastrophes.
place. So although it
Yeah.
might
Yeah.
look brilliantly covered this year, next
Yeah.
year they could have a load of losses
Could
and
be
all of a
gone.
sudden it's not. So
Yeah.
really you've got to look at it over a period of years.
So what they tend to do, if I'm right, and you know this better than anyone working in the space that you do, is that they tend to say we're going to give a percentage of the profitability of of returns, and that's what we're going to do each year. So the profits are up 25%, and the measure was we're going to return 10% of profits to shareholders. They'll increase that 10% by the 25% increase accordingly. Yeah, am I about right with that?
Yeah,
And then next
yes,
year,
that's spot on.
They've had a string of hurricanes and earthquakes and you name it. The profitability drops by 25%. The same percentage will be minus that 25% again for the next, and so on and so forth. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly
Yeah, I
right.
didn't know
And
it
I
was
think
on 7.5%, mate. That makes it quite interesting. I probably want to have a look at how they've done over the 3 and 5 year period with all the different disasters taken into consideration. So yeah. Increase in dividends last time. Tangible assets here, Henry. It's saying that the share, tangible assets per share rose to £5.25. What's the share price at the moment?
it is £3.93.
That's interesting again, mate.
And
We like
again,
a bargain, don't we?
if you think about who might come along and buy that book of insurance policies, Legal & General could come along and just
Yeah.
snap up the whole thing, give you a healthy premium for it because they can afford
Just
to.
hold tight with that thought. I want LGEN to be taken over, not to go buying anybody else, mate. Right? Let me just get another takeover. Thank you very much. But absolutely, absolutely. Yeah,
Or they
that's a
could buy
sizable
part of the
discount
book.
to.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
It's a
or part of the book,
reinsurance.
absolutely. Or even part of the book. But that's a nice discount to tangible net assets. And I have to have a look at how large that discount is compared to others in that similar sort of space. That'd be quite an interesting exercise to do. But
Yeah.
yeah, I like that, Henry. Thank you very much
Good.
for that. And the reasonable dividend this year. As you say, it's not as consistent as it could be. Right, I'm going to take a little break here and mention, whilst we can, the Memphis fundraise, folks. We are sitting at 1,135. Hasn't moved since the last pod. I'd love for you guys to, ladies and gents, to help me out here and help Memphis. We're trying to put something together to enable looked after children that are disabled to get in the workplace. It's as difficult as it's ever been for everyone to get jobs these days, and it's even more detrimental and difficult for disabled kids to be able to get onto the employment ladder. So if you can help regarding making a donation, I'd really, really appreciate it. We're going to be doing a employability scheme that gives these young people a chance to get in front of the likes of Caterpillar and the Space Center, and hopefully get eventually not only a placement but potentially a job with these sort of entities and other firms in and around Leicestershire and further afield. If you could be so kind and you can find £1, £2, £5, whatever it is that you can afford to donate towards helping these young children and young adults as well, you can go to the Just Giving page, which is www.justgiving.com/page/Peter-Higgins. And that's the Twin Peaks Investing Podcast fundraising that we're doing this year, which is for the Memphis Disabilities Charity. Do you want to add anything to that, Henry?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've done them a bit of a disservice, to be honest, Memphis. And I don't really want to get on a soapbox over this, but I'm going to. Whilst we've got the audience here, all of us take for granted the fact that we just get up in the mornings and our bodies work. You want to walk to the shower, you go to the shower. You want to go out, you want to talk to somebody, you can just do that, and you don't really have to think about it. The children that Memphis supports don't have that luxury at all. They don't see and feel and experience the world in the same way at all. They have profound disabilities and profound challenges with doing even the most basic of tasks. And in a world where even those of us that are physically and mentally able sometimes have challenges, often have challenges, I can't quite get my head around how difficult it must be when your own body and your own mind's fighting against you. And what Memphis really does is give them a space and give them support and their family support where they can start to learn how they can engage with the world and what the capabilities of their bodies and their minds really are and how they can make the most and stand on their own two feet in some way, shape, or form. They're never going to, do everything that they'd love to do the way that they'd love to do it. But there is an awful lot of things that they can do. And Memphis helped them to achieve that. And it also provides support to the families who are often struggling against incredible circumstances, really, to provide support to these children. Now, the funds that we're raising this year for Memphis, they really will make an incredible difference to people that often feel like the whole world's against them. And Memphis, as a
Absolutely.
charity, is. It's there just to be on the kids' side. It's there to show them that, hey, here's somewhere that's yours that you can enjoy, that you can appreciate. And the target of £5,000 that we're trying to raise is a drop in the ocean compared to what these kids need. And what they really need is a community that supports them. But that £5,000 that we are hoping to raise, that goes a little step of the way towards helping them to have that community. So please do go to the Just Giving page for 2025. Look for Twin Peaks, look for Peter Higgins, find it. If you can't find it, message us, give us a call, let us know. Because we do genuinely want to try to hit that £5,000. And we hope that you do take a few minutes just to donate a few pounds this year. So thank you very much to everybody that has donated. And if you're considering it, please don't hesitate. Get there on Just Giving. Go and put your few pounds in the bucket. It's for a fantastic cause. So thank you.
Thank you very much for that, Henry. Appreciate your candid thoughts on that as well. And I obviously do agree with what all that you've said there. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank everybody that listened to the last pod. We had some great numbers for the last pod as well. Some great feedback and questions. I think the first comment I had though was the fact that I said the wrong date when I listened back to it, it was all been put together. I was like, no. But we get past that. So I just want to thank everyone for their continued support and for their great feedback on X and also on YouTube, and a couple of comments we've had as well on Blue Sky, which people are some people are moving across to. Please give us your feedback as well regarding this pod. And if you are on YouTube, we've now got it in chapters. We've broken it up. People have been resisting it forever, but the last couple of pods I've done and I've put it in chapters so you can actually see where things are. You can just go in and listen to the segments that you may want to selectively have a look at and listen to. And please just give it a like. We're getting some good numbers of people listening on YouTube now, watching on YouTube, should I say. So if you're there and you've already been there and watched it, just give it a little like, and the algos will share it with other people as well once it becomes more and more popular. And we carry on going towards what will be number 150 at the Master Investor Show, as I said. And we'll carry on going from there. But we're only as good as the community that's listening to it. So if you've listened to it and there's something you want to comment on, tell myself and Henry and give us a feedback. If you listen to it and there's something you enjoyed about it, retweet it, reshare it, because someone else might find that segment or another segment that you don't particularly like of importance or educational, which is what we're always trying to do. You good with that, Henry?
Yeah, spot on. I mean, and I think as well, ladies and gents, I can't stress this one enough. Peter spends a terrific amount of time putting those bookmarks in. I don't have anything to do with it whatsoever. When he told me how long it takes, I'm not going to be having anything to do with it, but they are there.
Thanks for that, mate. Oh my
I'm
days.
sorry, that one is one ask too much, but they are
Oh
there
dear.
for your benefit. We've had requests for them. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. It should be easier in this day and age, but it is very time consuming. So, if you are using them and you do enjoy the show, please just drop us a little note to say that you've enjoyed it, because it does mean all the world to us. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're spot on. There's tech to do it. You can just put it into the system and it goes and it breaks it down and then it's all over the place. So you might as well do it yourself. You know what
It's
I
just
mean?
my dashing good looks and
Yeah.
stellar personality that confuse the AI.
You might think that. I'll have to ask Verity that to
Yeah,
verify that
exactly.
and see what she says. Right, so on the principle of maximum pessimism, I'm now going to talk about a stock which I know Henry's going to absolutely poo-poo. That's currently sitting towards 52-week lows and possibly multi-year lows. Okay. And why am I talking about it? It's recently had a profit warning. Its shares have essentially halved in the past 22 years. Henry's already rolled in his head, going, oh my gosh, here we go. Another crap one that Pete's going to talk about. But the reason I'm going to talk about this one, because of maximum principle of maximum pessimism, is the fact that we have to start looking at the stocks that are lower or depressed or unloved, because often than not, if the right CEO, CFO are involved, or the ones that cause the problems are, moved on and new people are brought in, sometimes a turnaround can be expedited. So I'm always looking at possible turnaround situations. The fact is, some of them don't turn around. Some of them just carry on going. And Henry and I have had our fair share of those. But in the spirit of the principle of maximum pessimism, please just hear me out, ladies and gents. And Henry, when I've finished, please be gentle. Okay. So which company am I talking about? I'm talking about Renew Holdings PLC. Provides multidisciplinary engineering services to the energy, environmental, infrastructure, and specialist building sectors in the United Kingdom. It has two main businesses. So essentially, you're looking at essential engineering services and the renew, maintain critical infrastructure networks aspects of the business. Railway infrastructure, providing engineering services and maintenance and renewal of railway networks. And we know what's been going on with that. There's loads of stuff to do. Plans are going forwards, so lots of delays. Margins are tiny. Environmental, offering services related to the environmental manage and sustainability. And they've actually been absolutely smashed to pieces in the recent months and almost the past year with delays in rail spending regarding. Have you heard about this, Henry? The rail infrastructure aspect of all the delays have been pushed back, all
Well,
the
basically, the
various different
government's
delays.
got no money, have they? And then you've got this Great British Rail thing that's rattling around. So I doubt most of the industry knows what they're doing.
Whether you are an experienced or new investor, you know how valuable it is to conduct portfolio enhancing analysis and to have easy access to data that will give you the edge. As a Twin Peaks investing podcast listener, you can access an exceptional offer from ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. This special Twin Peaks offer is available to new subscribers only, and you can subscribe using the promo code TWINPEETS. The incredible and exclusive offer means that monthly subscribers will get their second month free, and annual subscribers will get their 13th month free. Sign up and subscribe today using the TWINPEETS promo code, and you can save up to £69. Visit shareScope.co.uk for further details and subscribe to the investing and trading analysis and data you need.
Exactly. So all of that in mind, I'm going to keep this one sweet because I'm conscious I don't want to be making people think Pete's bullish about this and really, really pushing it, and it's there sitting at its knees. The shares are down 28%, right? Profit warning was issued due to several challenges in the rail division. Key points were delays in rail spending. The company faced delays in national rail spending bit, which is touched on, which impacted the rail infrastructure division. Slow start to control period seven. And that was the delivery plan from April 2024, and it's continued to affect the rail sector. So the government has just delayed and pushed back certain things because, as Henry said, they haven't got the money. So as a result of those challenges, Renew Holdings announced a full year trading, which was well below market expectations. Despite this, and often is the case, the company remains optimistic, as they do, believing that the situation will normalize through the next cycle. Do we believe them? I'm not so sure. So that was just January the 24th that they had that warning regarding the co. And the control period is C7 is where they make their most of their money. The bulk of the monies for Renew comes from railway, and that's been impacted. And the lower than expected level of activity is likely to continue. So everyone's just gone. There's no point buying them and being involved with them for the time being. So 52-week range, 631 up to 1162, and currently sitting at £6.45 or there or thereabouts. £6.56. I'm just on an update here, sort of 1% today. So, Henry. The consensus from brokers is that it's got a £12.33 price target. Not that I take much notice of the price targets. It's got a market cap of 509 million, so it's a lot bigger than the tiny one that I told you about earlier. Forward PE of 10.2. Turnover the last 3 years, average is 9.2% increase, and its current turnover is 10.7. But they can't make enough money off that. Forward yield of 3%. And it's paid a divvy for the past 20 years. So it's been consistent in that regard, regardless of outcomes. Return on capital employed is 27% when they actually do the business regarding all the different parts of their business, which is quite, decent. With regards to 5-year CAGR, only 5.4%. at the moment against the UX all share of 5.5. So it's not really, smashed the lights out in any regard. And as I said, at the moment, it's down 42, 43% in the past 12 months. So is maximum pessimism in this stock? Is there a potential that it'll turn around at some point? Definitely not one to buy now. I'd definitely watch and wait to see if there's a catalyst. But research it, potentially put it on your watch list, watch for when it starts to curve up, watch for some potential news. Who knows? Somebody might come and bid for it. But I think that anyone that's going to bid for it will probably buy part of the business or wait to see when the rail segment of the business starts to show some incremental growth. So there you go, Henry. A dog with fleas. Hopefully we can get it sorted and take it to the vets and get it,
It's funny
renewed.
you call it that because, unlike your last one, I really like this. Nothing
You're an
like a
hard man to
curveball
understand,
for
mate.
you.
I don't. So, all right. So, tell me what you like about this one and why, please.
So,
Because I thought the other one you would enjoy, and this one you'd absolutely rip to shreds. So you've got me
yeah,
confused there.
now I'm totally the other way around. So the delays in spending, yeah, okay, the rail sector's going through a hard time. No one's got any money for anything, right? But this is quite a high quality business. Like a 2020, I mean, personally, I think if you can get a return on capital of 15% plus, you're doing pretty well. This thing historically has done 30%, more than double my target. So I like the way it operates. The fact it pays a dividend, great. And it is actually forecast to grow. It's just that that growth slowed down and delayed slightly. Now, to me, this is one that, again, don't go piling into this thing today because who knows where the bottom is. I mean, generally, don't go piling into
Agreed.
anything ever because you'll probably call it wrong. But I'd be quite happy to start building a position in this where it is today. I'm not saying necessarily go and do that, but I like it. I really like it as a business, and you can get it 40% cheaper than you could 12 months ago. Yeah, to me, that's the kind of figure that makes me sit up and go, you know what? Usually, if something's 25% off its all-time highs, I'm looking at starting to buy if it's on my watch list at 40% from its all-time highs, providing it's not loss-making and it's a catastrophe, which this doesn't look to be. This, to me, is the sort of signal where I'm going, yeah, I want to gradually start dripping into this. So I'm quite a big fan of Renew Holdings.
You've surprised me, mate. Well, thank you for that. I'm looking to see where this control period CP7 bit starts to kick off again. And rail activities to move on, and give them a little bit of space. There was talk about all this environmental work that was going to come regarding all of our rivers, streams, and so on and so forth. I haven't heard anything about that either. So they could have two catalysts going forward, if any of those happen. I think they'll be on their way. They've got an order book here, Henry, providing long-term visibility up to 31st of December was £905 million, of order book. So they've got a fair bit of work in the system to deal with. The other little last bit to mention was, where are we? We're on the fifth now. So the fourth, yesterday's date. I might have got the dates wrong. Check people, please. Swedbank. Which is a, I'm going to say Swedish bank, I guess. I had a little nibble of Renew Holdings. I grabbed that from someone's tweet, and they increased their holdings from 5% to 6% at this lower level regarding Renew Holdings. So that's quite interesting that one of those companies is looking to. To increase the
To
stake in the
top up,
company
yeah.
on its knees. So Swedbank is a Nordic Baltic banking group based in Stockholm, Sweden, offering retail banking, asset management, financial and other services. And they've got at the current time 6% of Renew Holdings, which whose shares have essentially halved. So that's quite interesting as well. And yeah, I would say the Swedish are quite shrewd investors. So interesting.
Yeah.
So there you go, Henry.
Yeah,
That's my
I'm
two
a fan. I think
points of time.
that's one that's piqued my interest.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie. I'll take that. It's better than getting a punch in the chin like I normally get from you. I'll
Try and be
take that, mate. Thank
balanced.
you very much. Yeah. Yeah, you're just having a week off, mate. Just be honest. Let's be honest. Right. Okay. Thank you for that, sir. I'll let you go over to your stop, mate, before we pull this to a close. Trying to make these things
Cool.
not too long.
Well, I've got one that I think is going to interest you. I think it's going to interest our audience. It's one that some people will probably have heard of before, but it's one I've not looked at terrifically closely. It's a company called Alpha Financial Software. The ticket is ALFA. And it's a provider of software solutions to the global asset finance industry, which IPO'd back in, I think it was 2017, something like that. And investors have seen over 200% returns over the last 5 years. 200%, ladies and gents. So this thing's been going gangbusters. Now, the business is based around a software as a service platform called Alpha Systems 6. Presumably, there are previous five iterations of the thing. And it's a platform that helps asset financiers to originate and collect funds paid through asset financing agreements. So you think about, I don't know, buying capital equipment, vans or whatever. Usually they're taken out on a financing agreement. The financier uses Alpha System 6 in order to originate that loan. Now, the company provides a wide range of services in order to facilitate that. They provide something called Alpha IQ, which provides comprehensive support for decision making using advanced machine learning techniques to augment the decision making process, i.e., if I walk into a vehicle financer, should I be given a line of credit to buy the thing I'm buying at the price I want to buy it at? How much should I be charged for it? When should I pay it back? These sorts of decisions. Now, Alpha Financial Software works with a diverse set of financial institutions across a whole raft of industries. You know, the asset financing space is fairly complex, to be honest. The clients range from relatively small finance providers up to some of the largest, most complex global banks in the world. They possess extensive knowledge of industry processes and best practice, i.e., how to lend money at the right rates without losing too much, making sure you're getting most of it back at a good profit margin. All of these insights from the various financiers that they work with have been built into this Alpha System 6 platform so that you're not guessing when you're lending this money, you're not guessing what you're doing. Now, the business reported total revenue of about 46 million, I think last year, marking an 18% increase from 39 million. The growth was attributed to a rising demand for digital transformation. As you mentioned earlier, Peter, there's lots and lots of demand for AI, for artificial intelligence, for technology to enable decision making, make decisions faster, make them more accurately. And this is exactly what Alpha Financial Software helps clients to do. Historically, they've had very strong financial performance. Their operating profit margins have increased, their net profit margins have increased. And actually, in October of 2023, there were takeover discussions from a company called Thomas Lee Partners, which actually weren't successful. It led to a drop in the share price. Now, despite that takeover falling through, the companies continue to secure new contracts. Their revenues continue to grow, and they've got a very confident outlook moving forward. And this is the sort of business that, again, I think's got a lot of potential in it. It does seem to have a market-leading position in what it does. On their client list, they've got, you know, amongst others, Santander Bank, Lloyds Bank. They've got Mercedes-Benz. These are huge global brands that are using Alpha Financial Software to offer loans to their customers and then accurately and safely. So I think this is a really interesting business and one with quite a bright future.
Okay, you're frozen on the screen, Henry, but I'm going to talk and tell you what's happened with this. I actually own this stock, and historically, I've already been in this stock, and it was I've just pulled up my notes here. and people can find these on my timelines for Alpha. So I bought it on the 21st of March 2023 for just over 133. Are you back with me now? Are you moving?
Back
Move so
with
I can
you.
see you. And I kept it, and then they had a takeover from EQT, as you've mentioned. And I watched the share price wobble and go up, and the share, I think it was two, what was the price? 208 was the bid from EQT, or was going to be if they went through with it. And there's a few things I was watching and watching and watching, and I decided on the 6th of July 2023 to exit this stock at more than 194, right? And I keep talking about tells and poker tells. There's some things that you can just see with volume, and it's like, if the share price is, if the takeover is at that price and it can't get anywhere near it, and we're now getting to a point where they've not said anything for X amount of weeks, maybe it's not going to happen, or maybe I should reduce it, or whatever, whatever. And if it's within 5% or 10% of what the bid is anyway, if it goes or they walk away, you're then looking at 20, 25, 30, or the price going back to where it once came from. So on the 6th, and this is pure luck, folks, as well, right? On the 6th of July, I went, you know what? Okay, I'm out. Sold all of my stuff, walked away from what would have been another 14 pence or so regarding the stock. On the 7th of July, and I'll put these tweets out if you want me to verify them, Henry. EQT walked away. One, then ferry next day. I don't know anyone in the city, folks, that knows anything about EQT or what they're doing. No one's going to tell me jack shit. But the share price crashed 24% to 147. They then don't own the stock. I'm watching it, tracking it, looking at it, and I'm thinking, could EQT come back? Yeah. So eventually I purchased the stock. I've still got the stock now. The share price at the last look was over the 208 that EQT bought it at, was going to buy it at, or probably bid at. And I'm sitting here waiting. I don't know if they'll come back, but they've done better without the bid. Yeah. And I'm getting paid a divvy whilst I wait. And they're in the wealth management space using, Henry, a lot of tech, and they don't want to talk about it, but some AI. So I'm a happy holder. So you've got another one. You found another one of my stocks. I don't like talking about my stocks on here, or have you have forcing me to disclose them. But I'm not going to say it's a bad stock after you've chosen it,
Well,
after I own it. But there you go. That's another one.
that's an unfortunate coincidence, but I sunk your battleship yet again. I'm gonna, I mean, we must, when, how
You
many of
haven't
these
done
do I have to
one of my
torpedo?
phrases, mate, because I'm buying obscure stuff. Obscure stuff, mate. And where are we? I think it was yesterday. I was on a conversation with one of our listeners, Karen by the Sea, on DMs, and what her question. Hi, Karen. I hope you're well. Hopefully, see you at the Master Investor Show, having a conversation about how volatile the markets were and how vile it was to the US markets, and we got spanked on the UK markets as well on Tuesday. And the question was, have you been buying anything? I went, yeah, bought two stocks today. And both new holdings, you know, so I like to buy when the markets are red. And when I'm ready, I will share them, you know, for transparency. But what we have sometimes are people, not Karen, other people want you to disclose your stocks. And when you disclose them, you're ramping them. And when you disclose them, they're in to try and scalp 1%, 2%, 5%, 10%, and the share price doesn't get out of its way. So less is more. The less I say about my stock, the less I'll be accused of being a ramper. And when I've got something to share or want to share it, I'll share it. Other than that, I'm here trying to help everybody else find a stock that's not ramped. Yeah, and Henry and I are not going to ramp stocks on here. Anything else you want to add, Henry?
I think that's fair and reasonable, you know, and it I don't talk, I don't think I talk a terrific amount about what I own, and I think I'd probably talk more about my losers than I do my winners. I mean, I had a situation earlier this week where you remember me talking about Team Internet Group. Just like you said, the blooming takeover offer fell through. Shares have fallen off a cliff. big time. Doesn't out they released a profit warning at the same time, so joy.
The thing for me, Henry, with that particular one was, we were discussing Kestrel and their maneuverings and shenanigans regarding that. And the conversation I'm having with you was just have a look at what they've done and how they've done it. Because these people want a bargain, they don't want to overpay for it. And the share price never actually went as close to the what they were toying with paying. So that to me is an almost a sort of tell. And the longer it went on, and you had that window of the date of being, what was it, the 3rd of March or the 4th of March, 4th of March,
Fourth of
that they had to
March.
come back up, put up and shut up. So that is on my alarm if I'm holding that stock. And the closer it's getting to it, closer it's getting to it, I'm going, you know what? Let me just cut and run just in case.
Yeah.
If I'm conscious or suspicious of the entity that's going to buy it, you know what I mean? And I'm fortunate, that the last two happened with Inuri and Good, but it didn't happen with the first time round with Wood Group, where I
Yeah.
got absolutely pied and the stock went down 44%. And that was without the
Yeah.
profit warning. That was just they walked away. I think the management have been a disgrace, to be honest with you, with TIG regarding what they've done, in the sense of they'll let that go all the way there and the put up and shut up comes and they compound it with a profit warning.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm an institution or a private investor, I'm going, I'm
I've had it.
absolutely
Well,
done
that's
with
what
that
everybody's
company.
done. That is what everybody's done. They've run for the exit. They're out. They're done. They're finished.
It's trust, Henry. It's a trust issue,
And
Henry.
well,
It's a
this is
trust
exactly the
issue.
thing. Not 6 months ago, it was all the future is rosy, everything's great, the historic figures looked good. And then you turn around and you tell me that, oh, sorry, yeah, a third of our revenue is about to evaporate. Sorry about that. And we couldn't have seen that 3 months ago. We couldn't have seen that a week ago. We couldn't have seen that until the day we tell you that the takeover offer's fallen through. Sorry, two takeover offers have fallen through. And you think, I'm pretty sure the only reason you are telling me at all is because you've just had to go through due diligence and they've noticed that your revenue is about to drop 30%.
Absolutely spot on.
You
And
know,
that's a
I
trust
own
issue for
you.
me.
Why am I the last person being told about this?
Absolutely. And the difficulty you now face, given the profit warning and the lack of revenue coming through, cash flow difficulties, is that you've got a question where the share price could go. It's got spanked, and some people say, you know what, it's been overdone. But you've got to look, and I don't know what the cash balances are, but I would be looking at the cash balance of that company and thinking, given the work that they may have going forward, how much cash have they got? Are they going to come and do the third whammy, which is, oh, we need to raise some money? You know what I mean?
Fortunately, they've not really been diluting too badly,
Well, okay.
but just
Yeah.
because they haven't doesn't mean they won't. And they've got a heck of a lot of debt, which they were servicing, and now all of a sudden we've got revenue problems. So, you know,
Yeah.
as an investor, this is the trifecta of oh bugger,
Yeah,
you know.
yeah, yeah.
But
Yeah.
this is the
So
thing,
what you
and
might.
the reason I bring it up is because same day we had a takeover of Warehouse REIT. You have to
Yes, you
take the
did.
good with the bad,
That's
and
the mark. That's what we have to do. Yeah.
this is it. You cannot get them all right. And I find when I talk about the losers, I get people turning around, and you not always, but some people will turn around and go, "Well, you should have seen that one coming, you idiot." When I get the winners, it's just tumbleweed, or you got lucky. You
Yeah.
know, and it's not that I'm looking for praise for the winners and consolation for the losers at all, but I think we all have to remember as investors, you can't get them all right. And we're all doing the best with the information we've got at the time. You know, it's not like I'm out there
Absolutely.
randomly gambling around. You know, these things do happen. But just be considerate, I think is the word I'm looking for. The way
Considerate,
that you
fair,
talk to
and
other investors
consistent.
online.
And
Yeah.
consistent. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the beauty, and for me, one of the things, despite the toxicity of X, and the declining sort of, interaction that it allows us to have with other people that are like-minded, is the fact that, you know what, we have got some really, really good people who have shown a great deal of kindness and support for you, Henry, for me, for the pod. and for other people. And occasionally I see it when somebody's getting bullied and somebody comes out and just says, whoa, whoa, what's going on here? And I have conversations with people via DMs about stuff that they've seen or what, and we're supporting. We've got our own little, network of support. So we have got some good people out there. So we just need to do more of it, I think, because people are getting a little bit worn out with what's going on X. And what's been happening is that almost there's a bubble of people who feel like they've got be getting a free pass to just sabotage someone else's day. And there's no need for that.
Yeah,
You can show a
totally
bit of
no need
kindness.
for it. Totally no need for it. And I think we're all capable of having conversations with people where you disagree, but you disagree politely.
Absolutely.
You know, and
Absolutely.
it
Absolutely.
it's all it's I've never ever got a problem with somebody politely flagging issues. I had a great conversation with a Greek guy about DJI-9 way, way, way before there were any problems, and he was flagging issues, and I was going, yeah, but yeah, but yeah, but. He wasn't rude to me at all, and he flagged very real issues that later came to fruition. And he wasn't rude when I didn't go, oh my God, yes, I'm selling out straight away. He just presented the idea to me and sort of went, well, look, here it is. M make your own mind up. And I think that's the way to do it, rather than, attacking people and going, well, you obviously aren't any good because you didn't see X and Y and Z, and I'd never have done that. Ha ha ha, after the fact.
We've got some good people, and we don't want things to be ruined by the minority of individuals that have come to just bully, troll, and project their own failings onto other people. Let's end on a positive, Henry. Let's end on a
Positive,
positive.
exactly.
Let's end on a positive. I want to just give a big shout out to everyone that is going to come and see us on March the 29th at the Master Investor Show in London. You may be able to join Henry for a beer before he even gets on stage if you want to do that, as per his request. But Henry and I and the ShareScope team will be going for some beers afterwards. We're going to be in and around the venue from 9:30 right till the very end, then going for some beers, possibly going for something to eat. So it'd be an absolute delight to be able to meet, speak, and have some conversations with some of you or as many of you as possible on March the 29th, Saturday the 29th. And I'll reiterate where you can find your tickets. That is www.masterinvestorshow. Well, sorry, start again. www.masterinvestor.co.uk /tickets, and I'll add that link into the write-ups that I put out on all the different platforms, so you can just go straight to that and purchase the ticket, which will be free. Purchase a free ticket and come and see us. And what I think, Henry will be suited and booted. I'll be suited and booted, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a bit of banter, talk about how to find winning stocks, introduce you to some of the other ShareScope team as well that you've not met before, and you get to see each other and meet each other as well as Twin Peaks podcast fans as well, and we can all have a chat away from the main stage as well. We can all gather and do our own little thing and have a conversation away from the stage as well. That's a wrap, Henry. You done?
Happy days, mate. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Absolutely. And Henry, thank you again, sir. Despite your toil and tribulations of this week, thank you ever so much for coming on the pod and supporting and doing what you do on the pod. I really appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much. And congratulations again. I'll have to sort something out regarding your senior bid manager promotion, which congratulate you on that one again. You need to change your title on LinkedIn, by the way, when it goes official.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, ladies and gents, that is a wrap. It is now 8:15 on the 5th of March. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time as well. We will have a guest for you on that particular pod as well. Love to hear your feedback. Love to hear your interactions. Give us a retweet. Give us a like on all the different platforms that you're on. And stay safe. God bless. Enjoy the spring. The sun's been coming out the last few days. It's been absolutely joyous. Get outside, do some nice stuff with friends and family. And we'll catch up with you 2 weeks' time. Take care. God bless you all.
Twin Peaks Investing Podcast is brought to you in association with ShareScope, the UK's number one investment data and analysis software for private investors and traders. Visit ShareScope.co.uk and discover the advantage of